I should have realized in the very beginning where I went wrong. Because I met Roland when I was 16, going on 17. Yes, I know it sounds like a song. And he was 17, going on 18. And he... 16, going on 17. I can't sing. So, I must say that Roland was my... You know, we all had a time in our life where we rebelled. And Roland was my rebellion. So I decided to look for the baddest boy on the bluff and date him. And I did that. He was one of the bad boys. Very, very, came from a family, never been to church, didn't know anything. I grew up in a family, Presbyterian family. My father forced me to go to Sunday school until I was about 16. I remember going to Sunday school one day with such a heavy bubble ass, but anyway. And so I decided that I was going to look for this bad boy. I discovered Roland on Brighton Beach surfing Cave Rock, and I thought, that's the man of my dreams. But I grew up in a family where there's three girls. I'm the youngest, and my mom was a very strong, domineering woman. She wore the pants in our house, and my dad was a very quiet, I'm going to say submissive man. But my mom, I love, just for the record, I love my mom very much. And my mom has changed. But when I was growing up, my mom was very manipulative emotionally. She used to blackmail us all the time. And she controlled our family. Eventually, when I was in matric, my mom divorced my father and left him heartbroken. And I was left to live with my father, heartbroken man, and I didn't have a relationship with him. And so at that point, I decided that I would rebel and find the meanest man in town. Another song. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. But you know what? Roland had a 250 motorbike. He was only 17. He wasn't supposed to ride it. And I was not allowed on a motorbike. But just Kim's example was, I'd never been on a motorbike. So what we used to do is, I used to walk down the road and then he would pick me up. So he didn't pick me up on the motorbike at my house. The first time I got on the motorbike, as we got down the road, we had a road that went down like that and then like a corner. And as we went around the corner, instead of dropping with the motorbike, I was like, no ways, I'm not doing this. And I sat up. And I sat straight. And Roland, as he dropped the bike, I sat up. Well, what happens then? We went straight. We didn't turn that corner. We went straight. Fortunately, it was a parking lot of the shopping center. And we went wham, straight into the shopping center. He was so angry with me, jumped off the bike. He's like, what were you doing? I was like, well, I wasn't going to drop like that. Are you crazy? And he was like, but if you don't, you're not coming on the bike again. And we ended up having a massive fight, and I walked home, and he went off on his motorbike. And that's how our relationship started. And I know you don't believe this of me at all, but I'm rather a fiery person. But I know you can't see that at all. Like, you see me as this gentle. But, yeah. But anyway, that was the beginning of a relationship. And that was how our relationship was. I was rebellious. Everything that Roland wanted to do, I didn't want to do. I then got saved a year before Roland. But when I look back now, I don't think I really got saved because, yeah. And he was in the army, and he then got saved a year later, and 3 months later, we got married. But for 7 years, we had fireworks. And everything that Roland wanted me to do, I rebelled against. I was extremely rebellious. I was manipulative because I'd seen my mom. That's how my mom, you know, you learned behavior. That's how my mom, I didn't think it through, like they actually got divorced. But anyway, and everything that Roland wanted me to do, I fought And we were saved, ladies. We used to fight like cat and dog. Roland is a very strong personality. And I was a strong personality. And two strong personalities in my hat. There were fireworks. And eventually, I mean, I used to throw frozen bread rolls at Roland. And I remember we were comm leaders, ladies. We were comm leaders. And we were going at each other. Just before comm. And Roland eventually had like, wow, this woman. And he rose up and he was like, Trish. He calls me Trish. He went, Trish. And I looked at his face and I thought, you know what? I've pushed him 1 degree too far. So I ran into the bedroom and I closed the door and locked the bedroom door. And the next minute, he put his fist right through the door and unlocked the door. And when he opened the door, I was hovering in the corner thinking, now this is it. He is going to smack me because I truly deserved it. I looked at him, he looked at my face, and he just burst out laughing. He says, because he just saw the terror in my face, and I knew that I'd pushed him 1 degree too far. But then, fortunately, we were just like at each other's throat. We were comm leaders. Did I mention that? We were at each other's throat. And so I went to our lead elder at the time. Yes, of course. Oh, yes. Thank you, Sam. So now we've got a hole in our bedroom door. We lived in like this tiny little house, and we've got comm in our house. And we got this hole in the bedroom door. Roland goes like, what are we going to explain the hole in the door? So I'm like, no, let's get a picture. So we get one of these calendar pictures and we stick it over the hole in the door. But now it's not in the middle of the door. It's like on the side of the door. And we sticky tape this picture over the hole in the door. Thank you, Sam. And it stayed like that until we sold that house. But you know what? Eventually, like, it was, oh, Roland was like, I can't live with this woman any longer. She's like, oh. Anyway, our lead elder at the time knocked on our door, and he was like, guys, you need help. I was like, yes, we need help. And yeah, we did. We submitted to marriage counseling. Roland had to go for counseling for a year. I only had to go for 6 months. So Casey was the problem. Not me anyway. But you know what? I was a rebellious wife. And honestly, I fought him on every single thing. And you wouldn't say that now, hey? We've been married 39 years. By the grace of God, we've been married 39 years. But we went into intense marriage counseling. And it helped. But there's was always this little thing inside of me. For I can be grateful. I'm very grateful that I married a very strong man. Because had I not, it would have been a lot worse for me. But he was strong. And so, yes, it did cause fireworks. I mean, I remember walking out. I remember, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. We had had another rip-roaring fight before we went into marriage counseling. And I was like, I'm leaving. And it was pouring with rain. And I had these three little boys. That's why Dan is lucky. I had these three little boys. And I was like, I'm leaving. It's pouring with rain. And I'd just come back from the shops and I had high heel shoes on. Yes, I used to wear those. And I left and I walked up the road in my high heel shoes, and it's pouring with rain, and my kids are going, Mommy, don't leave. Liz, you need to counsel my son. And I remember my neighbor driving past me saying, can I take you somewhere? And I'm like, no. Where was I going? And you know, I realized, where am I going? And it was like, I've got nowhere to go. This, God has called me. to be with this man. Roland was saved a month, and he was called out in a massive meeting by Fred Roberts. We were called out. And Fred Roberts, do you know Fred Roberts? Prophesied over his life. He was saved 1 month, about him being a missionary into Africa, and that God would use him in amazing ways and supernatural and all that. And I knew that God had called this man. And I knew that I had to get my act together if we were going to fulfill the call of God on our life. And I knew that I was called with him. And there had to be major adjustments in me. And I had to learn to submit. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't. It was really difficult. And then it got to the space where we really felt called. We'd had many prophetic words. Roland was an engineer at Sappi Cycle, and we felt called to Nelspruit to plant a church. Had I got my act together completely? What do you think? But you know what? God was working with me. And we planted that church. It wasn't easy. Joel was 4, Daniel was 7. And Seth was 9, turning 10. And we went to Nelspruit and we planted the church in Nelspruit. And we came from a small church in Scottsboro, NCMI Church in Scottsboro. They had no finances to help us. They were like, we can give you prayer. Like, thanks, guys. Roland had given up a really high-powered job at Sappi. He was an engineer, production manager. He was doing really well financially. We decided to sell our house. We had bought a lovely, beautiful house in Umkamas, if you know what that is, where that is. And we sold our house and we went to Nelspruit. And I remember when we got to Nelspruit, Sappi, they've got a plant at Nelspruit called Ingwadwana. There's a Sappi mill there. They had heard that Roland had moved to Nelspruit when he resigned. And the big shot from Sappi in Gondwana phoned Roland. And on the landline, because you know we didn't have our cell phones then, it was 1995, and phoned Roland on his landline and said to Roland, listen, I've heard that you've moved to Nelspruit. We've got a production manager, senior production manager job, and we would really like you to come in. And Roland was like, so remember we had no finances, nobody supported us. And our house hadn't sold yet. We had no money. And it was so tempting. And Roland was like, and I remember jumping in front of him on the table. He hates it when I do that, and I still sometimes do that. You know when you stand in front of them and you go, I was like, no. And he was like, just hold on. I'm like, no. He's like, can I get, no. You're not even getting back to them. No. And he put down the phone. He was like, okay. I said, we came here to plant a church. Not for you to get a better job. And I said, if it means that I go and work, I will work. And you will plant the church with me, obviously. And that's what I did. I'm an accountant. You wouldn't know that, eh? I have an accountant personality. Wouldn't you agree? I definitely have an accountant personality. And so I went and I got a job. But I didn't get one. I got 3 jobs. I worked for a rental agent. I worked as a training officer for Siemens, and I started my own little business, pamphlet distribution. And for the whole, we were in Nelspruit for 3.5 years. I worked the full time that I was in Nelspruit. But for me, that was being his helpmeet. In order, I knew that we were called to plant. And if he had got sucked into a job in Sappi, we would never have been able to do what we did. because it was a high-powered job. It was working overtime, call outs, I mean, a whole lot of stuff. And so I went and I worked. I did what we needed to do. And that's what being a helpmeet is. You need to do what you need to do. I loved ministry. I told you last night. Did I want to go and work? I didn't want to go and work. I really didn't want to go. My kids were young, eh? Joel was, as I said, 4.5. But I went and I did this work, and I did it with a good heart. And, you know, it was so good for me because that whole thing of submission during that time, because I really had to bend my knee and submit to what I needed to do. And did I want to sometimes cry because I had to go and work when I really wanted to help Roland much more in planting the church? Yeah. And it was tough times, but I knew that I needed to do this. And that is what I also knew, without a doubt, that we were called. And I was called with him. But even though I was working, I was still called with him. So I didn't do my job and he planted the church. I did my job so that we could get money, but my heart was still in planting the church. I didn't want to build career or anything. I just wanted to provide finances so that we could plant the church. So it's really important to recognize the call on your life. And you know what? That's really paid off for me, because later on in our lives, much later on in our lives, when Roland first got really, really ill, it was our call that pushed us to carry on. Because when I say Roland got ill, Roland got really ill. He got to the place where he, for 6 months, he would go into very severe depression. And when he wasn't just down, he was severely depressed, that he couldn't get out of bed. He lost 30 kilos. He couldn't function. He didn't drive. He couldn't do anything. And my boys were young. He was 41 when he first started with symptoms. But you know what pushed us to carry on was the fact that we knew we were called. And we were convinced, and I'm still convinced, that the enemy tried to take us out. And because we knew that this was not God, illness is not God, God will use it, but it's not God, we felt like we were going to stand against everything that the enemy would bring against us. And after that, I mean, we've been in an aeroplane crash. Yes, we were attacked by a swarm of killer bees. We have had some hectic things happen. A Rottweiler tried to take Daniel and Joel out. They both had 200 stitches on their heads. Yeah, we've had some hectic stuff happen to us. We've really been in a place where we could have thrown in the towel. And we've just known. We're called. And our life in Benoni, we went and we took over a church in Benoni. We had led the church in Nelspruit for 3.5 years. We handed it over. There were probably about 150 people at the time. Handed it over to an amazing man who has since grown that church to about 4,000. That's got an amazing building in Nelspruit. We went and took over a church in Benoni, and oh my word, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go into the details, but we had the toughest time ever in Benoni. It was a nightmare. We took over a church that was not run properly. The finances were in a mess. I'm not going to bore you with the details. And then Roland got sick. But you know what? We persevered. We pressed in. We pressed in. We pressed in. Roland would go through seasons. We didn't know he was bipolar. So he had started. And it was triggered by a trip. He went to Zambia. He went on Larium. And in the November. And he came back from that trip, and I thought, like, what has possessed my husband? There's something horribly wrong with him. He came back aggressive and irritated, and I phoned the guy he went with, and I said, like, what happened to Roland? And the guy was like, no, he was fine. And then he was having hallucinating dreams, and so we decided to stop the larium. and we stopped the delirium. That was in November. In January, he woke up in severe depression. And we believe that is what started his whole bipolar. And of course, bipolar can take 10 years to actually, he was only diagnosed in 2006, and this was in 2001. And it started a roller coaster in our lives where, But you know what? It was the call that pushed us on. He then went from severe depression to mania, which was not fun. Oh, yes, he loved it. He absolutely loved being manic. It was such fun. He used to, can I give you one example of his mania? You won't mind. I would wake up at 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be standing over my bed looking at me. And he'd go, "Why do you have to sleep so much?" And I was like, because that's what normal people do. He says, "No, come on. I've already walked the dog and cycled 20 Ks. Get up." He'd get me up and put me on a bicycle, and I'd cycle. He'd ride behind me, and he'd go, "Faster, Trish, faster. You can go faster than this. Go faster, Trish." I'm not exaggerating. And we would cycle 20 Ks, and I'd crawl off the bicycle. Fortunately, I was a lot younger. And then he would just start. Yeah, and he would just become a workaholic. The poor people who worked for us were like he would have ideas and, yeah. And then he would have almost like burnout and just go, start projects. Oh, he turned our swimming pool into a koi pond. When he was manic, he painted the swimming pool black and he threw koi pond, a fish in our swimming pool. Anyway, yeah. That's just a little story on know your calling, because we, at one stage of our lives, Roland was in severe depression, and we went to the guys who oversaw us at the time, and Roland was like, "You know what, I need help, eh? I need help." And they were like, the guy who we saw said, "Yeah, I've got a great idea. You go find a job." Roland was in severe depression, couldn't get out of bed. "You go find a job. I've got a guy who would love to take over." City on a Hill. Now, then, was Covenant Life Church. So, yeah. I want to quickly run through some handles. That's just about calling, okay? Just knowing your calling. So, just some practical, quick handles, not going to take long. I want to just be available for your husbands. Don't be too busy. Don't be too busy with the kids. Don't be too busy with the church, even. Don't be too busy for your husband. Take the time to sit down and talk, and ask him what's going on in his life. So Roland and I have a little routine in our lives, which we started early on in our ministry. And at 12:30, no matter where he is and no matter where I am, we meet. We have a meeting at our house, and we meet for lunch. And we sit down, and he'll tell me how his meetings went, or I'll tell him how my meetings went, and we'd sit down and we'd have a chat over lunch. Then, after lunch, he would do what he needs to do, I would go and do what I need to do, and then at 4:00, we would get together again and have coffee in the afternoon. We've now moved it up to 3:00, getting old. And we would then also spend time together. Be available. Don't be too busy for your husband. And show an interest in what he's involved in. I ask Roland and I, he will always say, "Trish, I'm going to preach on this on Sunday. What are you feeling? What are you feeling? Are you feeling it's right for the church?" He always asks me. And then he does his notes, and then he'll say to me, "Trish, won't you just go through your notes, my notes for me?" And I'll go through his notes, and because I have more of a teaching gift than he does, he's got more of a preaching gift, he'll say to me, "Can you reorganize my notes just a little bit so it's more like I can, it's more teaching, and I would do that for him. Not every Sunday. Some Sundays I say to him, I don't want to know what you're preaching because I think I'm going to have a prophetic word, and I don't want it to interfere. So I say, I'm not going to look through your notes this week. But that is just working hand in hand with him. I think Kimmy very well spoke about being a team player. You need to be a team player with him. You need to be in unity. You really need to be in unity with your husband. So that means you can't be arguing with him on the way to church on Sunday. You can't be fighting because he didn't do his part by making you coffee and bringing it to you in bed. You can't be, and you know how the enemy loves to make you feel irritated on a Sunday morning? I don't know, is it just me? Like it's the devil comes in and goes, he didn't bring you coffee. Now I'm irritated with you. Be a team player. Be in unity. Be in unity. I have to put a disclaimer out there. Roland, I've come a long way in our ministry, and now I'm a submissive wife. Sam, can you vouch for that? Because she sees the raw and she sees the ugly. Am I a submissive wife now, Sammy? There you are. I knew you should say that, else I wouldn't ask it. I think Kim also covered this about covering him in love. Don't speak about your husband to others in a derogatory way. You know, like, oh yeah, you know, Roland really farts a lot when we're sleeping in bed. He doesn't, so I can say that. And that's such a stupid example. But you know, sometimes there's things that really irritate us about our husbands. And so we'll get together with our girlfriends and we'll go, oh, you know, he's so irritating. He does this. Can I say, we are encouraged not to gossip. Is that right? We apply Matthew 18. Do you know that it applies to your husband too? You are not excluded. If you talk about your husband, it's not, like there isn't a written rule that says, if you gossip about your husband, it's okay because he belongs to you. No, no. Gossip is gossip. And if you gossip about your husband, it's the same as if you gossip against your best friend. And if you have an issue with your husband, apply Matthew 18. Go to him and talk to him about it. It's only if there becomes a real marriage issue that you feel you need help from a marriage counselor, then you go and discuss that. And, you know, just to discuss his struggles, I always ask Roland permission. So he knows that I'm sharing today, and I asked his permission. Can I talk about your bipolar? Because it's your struggle. It's not my struggle. It's your struggle. So can I talk about it? Is it okay that he feels safe that I can talk? Even his manic, he's very embarrassed about his manic episodes. Never once did he sin. Or else he wouldn't be in ministry. But he's embarrassed about the silly things he used to do, like build roofs and garages at 2 a.m. But we need to cover our husbands in love. Do we pray for your husband? Do you pray for your husband? Regularly? Every day? Okay, well, I'm not so good. I don't pray for Roland every day. That Roland reminds me. He goes like, Trish, have you been praying for me? Now's a good time. I kind of get busy. Sorry, I'm being real. And he'll say, you know, when he was in depression, I would lay hands on him every single day. And I would pray for him every day. But then when he's well, I kind of forget. And oh, he's well. Cover him in prayer. Help him with his shepherding. I help Roland with shepherding. Because actually he's not, his shepherding, I'm stronger shepherding-wise. I love people. So I think about people all the time. And then I'll say to him, babes, you really need to connect with Vicus this week. I haven't seen him at church. Won't you just give him a call? I do that. And he'll go, oh, yeah. Great, yeah. And or I'll be praying for somebody. I'll go, oh, he really needs just Roland's touch. And I'll say, well, babes, I don't call him that. Babes, won't you just, get a hold of? And then I help him so much with the ladies, and it's just a WhatsApp call sometimes, voice notes. But we can help our husbands so much with shepherding. Hospitality. Kimmy spoke about that. Opening your homes. If you don't want to open your home, it's very hard for your husband to invite people home. If you don't want to open your home. And honestly, I'm going to touch a very touchy thing. If your home is a mess, it's very hard for him to bring people into your home. If you can't cope with your housework, do something about it and get somebody in who can help you. Sacrifice in another way. Don't buy that new pair of jeans this month and rather pay somebody to clean your house. And the same is with your garden. When you bring people in, you need to be an example. You need to have a house that is in order. I'm not saying it must be perfect, but people need to feel comfortable in your house. I don't feel comfortable in an untidy house. That is the accountant side of me coming out. We need to make our homes presentable. That's all part of being the helpmeet. Protect your children. I don't think I got this 100% right. But you know when you're venting about the church or about somebody, make sure your children are not an earache. Because you know what? You will be surprised how much they actually hear. And so you would vent to your husband. When you're going to talk about church politics, go in your room, close your door, and make sure your children can't hear you. Because you think they're too young, but they pick up things. And my kids would overhear stuff. I don't think I got this 100% right, because my kids would go like, "Mommy, why? Mommy, why are you cross with Uncle so-and-so?" "No, I'm not. I love him very much." Kimmy spoke on accountability. Make sure you're accountable. And a lot of us will say, "I'm accountable to my husband." But you know what? We also need to be accountable to a lady, a close lady to us. And you know what? We are so privileged in Josh Jen. Because we've got us. We're all in the same position. Sometimes to be accountable to ladies on your eldership team doesn't always work, because they don't carry the same responsibility as you and they don't understand. And sometimes we need to actually be protecting our elders' wives. So, but we have this. You know, when we planted an eldership, I didn't have this. I didn't have this. Even in Benoni, I didn't have this. So we have the privilege of this. And let's be accountable in our personal lives. You can be accountable in your marriages, but just make sure that it's not pointing at the husband all the time. Be careful on what you're saying.